This is Word of Mouth from NHPR. I'm Virginia Prescott. Most of us loved painting and drawing and making as kids, but art became distant as we were paraded in front of paintings we were told were important on field trips to the museum, when we really wanted to be over at the Egypt wing looking at the mummies. We readily talk about movies and music and sports and politics, but when was the last time you got into a passionate conversation about a painting or a sculpture? Tamar Avishai is a former art historian who wants to make art less scary. Her Lonely Palette podcast focuses on one work of art across the historic spectrum per episode. And it's got people talking, landing on a few notable year-end playlists for 2016, including Wired magazine. Tamar Avishai, welcome to Word of Mouth.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So nice to have you here. First, a little on you. Can we call you a recovering art historian?
Yeah, that's something I've been trying to call myself. For a while, it was erstwhile art historian. But I still am. You know, by actually making the podcast, I'm realizing that I am an art historian. And it's nice to get back into it because it was a rocky relationship for a while.
Oh, good. Well, so we're not going to say anything bad about art historians. But I do wonder, you know, you describe your podcast as returning art history to the masses. Did art ever belong to the masses?
That's a good question. That's a good way of getting into it. Museums never really belonged to the masses until pretty recently. Artists and art historians have always had a bit of a frustrating relationship because the artists are the ones who are doing the work that is so subjective and really speaking to the context that they're coming from, especially modern art, which is what I'm really interested in. And art historians, their role is to take these stories and make them a little bit more universal, but also putting them kind of in a box that then is how it is taught and how it is presented, how it's displayed. The artists say, well, this is really personal and really subjective to me. And then you have art historians looking back and saying, yeah, but look at where you're coming from and look at where this art, what it leads to. And artists don't really want to be treated like that. But it's true. Both are true.
Why do you think people are afraid to talk about art?
Because they're really scared of being wrong. They're really scared of sounding stupid. I can't tell you how many times I've pointed a mic in somebody's face at a museum and asked them not to say anything about art history and just describe what they see, and nobody thinks that they're allowed to. No one thinks that if they don't have a background in art history, that they're allowed to actually speak about it intelligently.
Well, one of the things you do in the podcast is you put that on tape, people describing what they see. Here's a little edited bit of what people thought looking at a painting a number of people may have seen at the Museum of Fine Arts in Boston. John Singer Sargent's The Daughters of Edward Darley Boyd.
These four girls in this mostly dark interior, but they're illuminated by this, I don't know if the best word is delicious or juicy, morning light coming through.
It's almost like the four girls are acting their age. The two younger ones are like interested and the older ones are kind of more like not interested.
The Daughters of Edward Darley Boyd, if you haven't seen it, is a huge painting that's pretty dark. And you have these four girls. They go by age. So the youngest is little 4-year-old who's sitting on the floor in front. And then a little bit further back is an 8-year-old. And then in the back are two adolescents, one who's kind of looking out and one who isn't even acknowledging you at all, who's leaning against this huge, huge Chinese vase. And it is meant to be a portrait of these girls, but it's very awkward for a portrait. To have a portrait where you don't even see a girl's face because she's turned away from you goes against everything that you know, portraiture should be, and yet you learn so much more about who she is because she's not looking at you.
Well, I loved hearing some of the responses that you got from people, like the juicy light, you know, it's just lovely. And people are connecting with it and looking at it in a strong way. But these are people at a museum looking at a painting. It's much more challenging, I know, on the radio, mm-hmm. on a podcast, describing something. So how do you make it come alive, make it exciting?
There are two issues here. One is that trying to put the visual on radio is its own challenge. People are used to, though, using audio guides. And so that's something that I can work off of, that standing in front of a painting and listening to a podcast or a piece of audio is something that people are actually really familiar with. But getting them to talk and the way that they describe the painting is actually really fun. It took a little while to kind of perfect my pitch, because you have to both make them feel comfortable talking about art at all and then also kind of get good tape out of them. Because what I want from them is pure description. I don't want them to really analyze or interpret the object at all. I just want them to describe what they see. Because if you are then listening, that's all you need to hear first and foremost is in your mind's eye, what are you looking at?
That was one of the funniest comments that I saw about your podcast from the radio host from Boston, Christopher Lydon. He said, this is what those snooze-a-thon museum audio tours should sound like.
Yeah.
Well, let's hear. This is a little clip from the episode from The Lonely Palette on Edward Hopper's room in Brooklyn.
Hopper plays with the qualities of stillness the way that Monet plays with the qualities of light. You never knew how many ways there were to be quiet, or expectant, or deep, until you walk up to a Hopper with footsteps that suddenly feel too loud and drop into it like a stone with no thump.
My guest is Tamar Avishai. She's an art historian turned podcaster and host of The Lonely Palette, which aims to make art history cool, one painting at a time. So that's a beautiful description. That's inviting to me. And that, I think it's that art historian language that sometimes throws me off or people off, you know, when they're talking about context. And even when you say modern art or a modernist, not everybody knows what that means. How would you define it?
I would define a modernist as actually more of a cultural historian than an art historian. And that's what I really loved about it. And that's why I got a little bit booted out of the art historian fold. And so I feel like what about modern art is so interesting. And modern art, it's modern art with a capital M. So that's, you know, kind of 1850 to 1950. You know, you've got what's going on in Europe is just fascinating. And you get into the 20th century and you have two world wars and you have the artists who are really learning how to kind of honor the first person perspective and what it means to really look at things and what it means to internalize a really complicated world through your very specific and subjective interpretation and your eyes. And you have all of these artists who are basically doing just that in a lot of really different, interesting ways. And so it can always come back to how an artist is experiencing the world. And I just find that time in history really interesting.
Well, it's a fascinating thing that comes up in your episode on Christian Boltanski's Lumière's Blue Square, Sylvie. First, if you could just briefly describe it.
It's an artwork that's very easy to walk by, even though it's really beautiful. It's rows and rows of light bulbs, but they're very dim and they have a little kind of bluish hue to them. And in the center, they're gridded really beautifully. And then in the center, you have a very grainy and kind of amorphous photo of a little girl that looks like it's a photo, but it's been like a photo that's been photographed over and over again so that it loses its integrity.
So it's funny when you're talking with people about it. I mean, this is one of those things that people think, oh, she looks like she must have been a Jewish refugee. It's of that period of time, not really sure what the light bulbs are about. And that's one of those things that we have this lack of agency in considering art. You know, like if it's difficult to figure out, it must be really important. But in this case, we assume that this is somebody, Sylvie, that he knew and loved and was disappeared like so many people in his own family during the war, he being Jewish. But we learn that our projections are totally off. Here you are from The Lonely Palette.
He's interested in how memory objectively works and, more importantly, how it fails us. Because the truth is, this is a photo he found at a flea market. We have no idea who she is. He has no idea who she is. And the entire narrative that we created around her life as a 1930s French schoolgirl cut short by Auschwitz, is completely projected onto her by us.
Tamora, what does that reveal to you?
That we are invited to participate in art a lot more than we think we are.
Well, I do see that with a Hopper painting or John Singer Sargent. You know, these are both portraits. They're both recognizable. They're accessible. Mm-hmm. But the experience that a lot of people have of art, especially contemporary art or installations in galleries, is not accessibility. In fact, deliberate inaccessibility. Like, we have to know the story in that case. Mm-hmm. How would you encourage somebody to view that differently?
I mean, first things first, see what the curator has said about it. So there's always wall text next to an object. As long as you understand that the story that the curator is telling is still a story of theirs, and that they are interpreting it for you, and then also hopefully giving you some room to interpret it yourself, then that's always a really good point of entry. And that's always a nice way of kind of starting that experience with the object. But then, you know, see if there's anything when you look at it that speaks to you. See if you see something the longer you stare at it. I opened an episode on Mondrian with a quote that my mom used to love to say, that an art teacher of hers told her that to really appreciate abstraction, you need a chair. That to really understand a Mondrian or a Pollock or a Rothko, you just have to sit with it for a while and really give yourself over to it. And every object in a contemporary gallery benefits from time with it and really kind of letting yourself approach it from every direction and try and understand why the artist wanted you to see this.
Or 15 minutes at a time in the case of Lonely Palette.
Yeah, or just listen to the podcast.
Tamora Avishai, art historian turned podcaster and host of The Lonely Palette. The podcast tagline, return art history to the masses one painting at a time. Thank you so much for speaking with us.
Thank you.
And you can listen to episodes on Paul Gauguin, Jackson Pollock, Picasso, Monet, Degas, many more in just 15-minute episodes. There's a link at our website, wordofmouthradio.org.